The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The story of Bonhoeffer is meant, I believe, to inspire us.
Coming up, best-selling author Eric Metaxas reveals the captivating story of a humble man of God who faced the greatest evil of the 20th century.
Bonhoeffer, he was a voice trying to wake them up to see what was happening.
Being a sold-out believer in troubled times. Next.
This is why if you're theologically ignorant, if you don't know the scripture, if you don't know Jesus personally, you are open to deception.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have the author of the book, Bonhoeffer. He references him as a pastor, a martyr, a prophet, and a spy. It's quite a book. The author, Eric Metaxas, who wrote also Amazing Grace about Wilberforce, who literally as one man led to the abolition of slavery all over the world, period. That was the ultimate impact of one man. And Bonhoeffer has been, Betty, I think he got lost in the eyes of many of us in the discussions about whether or not somebody believed the Bible exactly right or whether they had been adversely affected by the liberalism of a lot of the German theologians and a church, obviously, that didn't literally stand as the church in the face of perhaps the greatest manifestation of evil in the past 100 years, if not longer. Awful. And yet Bonhoeffer was a man that is amazing. And when I read the book, I found myself before the Lord just saying, God, the peace that prevailed in his life, the message he wanted the German people to hear, and Hitler so hated the very thought of this man because of a few messages that got out before he put him in prison. He literally, a few days before he died at his own hand, however Hitler went out, most people think history says he probably killed himself, but he had to get this man dead, and he had to destroy everything that he had done. Mm-hmm. And now then, Eric Metaxas has researched and done whatever it is to tell us the truth and to show us literally what God was in Bonhoeffer's life. Would you welcome this author, this incredible writer, Eric Metaxas, to Life Today again? Eric, I'm really glad to be here with you.
Thank you.
And I thank you for the journey. I thank you for the effort that went into this. And I said when I talked to you on another program that I was so inspired. I actually found myself praying, God, I want that peace that prevailed in the greatest, most adverse circumstances to where the other prisoners and even other believers, Christians, good Christians that had also been taken captive, mm-hmm. they noticed it on him. They were captivated by it, his writings, his letters to his fiancée, to family, everything that he communicated, notes that you've been able to recover. This man was abiding in Christ. I mean, this was kingdom power
yes.
and life
That's
in
it.
His life manifest. And it really inspired me. I want you to just sort of take off on what you wish people could know about this man and wish that we could hear. And it's sad that we ever lose the opportunity of knowing the truth.
Yeah. Well, Bonhoeffer, you said earlier that he was misunderstood, whatever. He really was. And that's why when I wrote this book, I went in with no agenda. I mean, that's just a fact. I said, I may find some stuff I don't like. I got to tell the truth. Well, what amazed me was that everything I was expecting to find, I didn't find. I found a man of God from the beginning to the end. In fact, it was when he came to America in 1930, he went to all these liberal white Protestant churches, mainline Protestant churches in New York City. He never heard the gospel preached, and he wrote about it. And I quote the letters and the journals in this book so people can read. He was shocked. He was disgusted.
And he was inspired by the black churches
yes.
and the pastors
that,
and their fire and their love for God in the face of total, let's say, cruelty.
Yes. Well, that's the
prevailing
point. So
cruelty.
He goes to all these mainstream, mainline Protestant churches. He hears nothing but theological liberalism, social gospel. And he says, you know, that's all very nice, but it's not Christianity. And then he goes to Harlem. An African-American fellow student named Frank Fisher from Alabama invites him to go to Harlem, and he visits the Abyssinian Baptist Church, African-American, one of the biggest churches in the country. I think it was the biggest church in the country. And what Bonhoeffer sees, it blows him away. He has never seen this. This is real faith, people really worshiping Jesus. They're not just going through the motions. They're not just getting dressed up to, this is what you do on Sunday because everybody else does it on Sunday, and then you go to brunch and play golf. That's what we do here. No, these people were worshiping Jesus Christ. The sermons were fiery gospel sermons. Bonhoeffer said, this is it. Not only did he go there that Sunday, he decided, I'm going to go back every single Sunday that I'm in New York City. Now imagine a blonde, bespectacled German academic going up to Harlem every Sunday, not just to worship and to sing this music, this he just fell in love with this music, but to teach Sunday school. He got involved in the lives of the parishioners, got very involved. It changed his life. When he went back to Germany in the summer of 31, everybody said, something has happened. What has happened to you? Now, later on, Bonhoeffer writes, and I quote this letter in here also, that he basically says, I became a Christian. Now, I think that's typical Bonhoeffer. He's being overly gracious. He was a Christian before this, okay? He was theologically straight, and you can read it for yourself what he said. But something happened in his heart. Something happened in his heart, whether he was born again, whether he had, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is everybody said, you're different. And he understood suddenly, it's not about me. It's not about being a theological rock star. Everybody's praising me because I'm such a genius, theological genius. No, it's about serving Jesus Christ in my time, in his power, for his purposes. He understood this, and people saw this. And just at the time he returns, what's happening in Germany? Well, he had changed. Germany had changed. The Nazis are on the rise. And Bonhoeffer begins, even with a kind of prophetic voice, speaking against what is happening in Germany. We know that the German people were so crushed by what happened in World War I. By the way, they lost, in case people didn't know, by what happened, the economic conditions. They were so destroyed that they were looking for a savior to pull them out of their economic misery, but they were looking to a human savior. And Bonhoeffer says, even in his classes, he says, if you're a Christian in Germany, you can only have one savior, and that is Jesus Christ. Now,
can I just
say
insert
that,
right here that
dramatic.
I feel like the stage is set here that we're looking to the wrong source.
Well,
we're beginning to think that government and that some way through government and through government entities or statism or this power, somehow we can have our security. Do you not see a little bit of that trend here that's
alarming? A little bit. How about a little more than a little bit? I got to tell you, one of the reasons I think this book has struck such a chord and I'm getting such incredible feedback is because people see parallels. Now, you know, you can take it too far, but let's just look at that, what you just said, this idea that It is in the nature, the broken, sinful nature of man to look to something other than God for salvation, for security, for everything. It's
for
our nature.
It's for provision.
It's our broken nature. And so we will do that naturally. Apart from Jesus Christ, that's what we do. Hmm. And of course, even people who do think of themselves as Christians, there's this tendency to look to make an idol of something, whether it's a political figure, as they did with Hitler, or whether it's the state, more generally speaking. And Bonhoeffer, he saw this, he began to speak out against it, and then he begins to speak to the church, and he's basically saying, the church must be the church. The church must stand up and stand against the state when the state is encroaching on the boundaries of the church. The church is the church. In this case, it was about, the church was being forced by the state to define, who can be a Christian and who can't be. They said, if you have Jewish blood, you can't be a part of the German church, because they were defining everything according to racial, along racial lines. Of course, that's what the Nazis did. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Germans said, well, that's not really incompatible with Christianity, is it? And Bonhoeffer says, yes, it is. He saw very clearly what a lot of Germans they got. This is why if you're theologically ignorant, if you don't know the scripture, if you don't know Jesus personally, you are open to deception. And there were millions of Germans were deceived. They were suffering. They were looking for ways out. And so they turned toward Hitler, toward the Nazis. And many of them woke up eventually, but it was too late. And Bonhoeffer, he was a voice trying to wake them up to see what was happening and to show them what it is to worship Jesus and what it is to just be a churchgoer who thinks he's a Christian. You know, Bonhoeffer would say, and I would say, you're not a Christian, you're a Gentile, okay? You're not a Jew, okay? You're not a pagan, okay? but you're not a Christian, you're just a Gentile. There were many people in Germany at the time, they thought that because I'm a German, I'm a Christian. Well, Bonhoeffer is saying, no, to be the church, you really have to be, you have to know the Lord, you have to follow him, you know, that's how God looks at it. You know, are you covered by the blood of Jesus Christ in everything you do, or are you just somebody who goes to church on Sunday? And in Germany, there were many people who just went to church on Sunday. Many of you didn't even go to church on Sunday.
What do you think Bonhoeffer would want us to hear? What does Eric Metaxas want us to hear
that you think
is from God today?
I mean, I think it's the same thing that Bonhoeffer was preaching, and it's the same thing. Listen, unless it's the Lord speaking, who cares what I have to say, and who cares what he has to say? Either it's the Lord or it's nothing. I believe the Lord was speaking through him and through his life, and to some extent through this book can speak again. But what does God always say? He says the same thing over and over and over. The Lord says the same thing over and over. He says to the church, be the church. To my people, be my people. Do not be apostate. Do not turn away from me. Do not follow false idols. Follow me. I love you. I have a plan for your life. It's the same simple thing that we know over and over and over, but our hearts are wicked, we are broken, and we keep turning away, and God keeps trying to call us back to be the church. We live in a time today, for example, in America, where it's very easy to be a Christian. Very easy. What's the cost? Try to be a Christian in North Korea. Try to be a Christian in other times in history, in first century Rome, try to be a Christian. So we have to ask ourselves, are we really Christians? Are we just floating along with the cultural tide? We're not really thinking about this. Are we behaving the way somebody who has been bought by the shed blood of Jesus Christ would behave? This is what Bonhoeffer was saying in his day, that, you know, if you believe, you will obey. You will obey. You can't just say, well, I believe, but oh, I'm a sinner and I screw up. He says, no, if you really, really believe, you will obey. You'll take it seriously what God has done for you. You don't take this lightly. And that's God's call to every human being that he ever created. But I really think that we live in a time now where it is very easy for us to just wink at this and wink at that. I mean, just on the issue of how the church has defined, say, sexuality since the beginning. That's not something that changes. You know, what Scripture says does not change. But today, it's becoming culturally uncomfortable. So a lot of people are suddenly, well, how many people, I'll ask the viewers, how many people have signed the Manhattan Declaration, right? I mean, you can ask a question. If you haven't signed the Manhattan Declaration.
I signed it the minute it was written.
Of course, you have.
Luke reading it, yeah.
But I'm saying there are many people that go, well, I want to ask people, if you're not willing to sign that, why not? And, you know, if God's going to ask more of you, are you going to have the courage? I mean, this is, the story of Bonhoeffer is meant, I believe, to inspire us to stand for the truth, knowing that it's nothing but the love of God. The truth is not a dark thing. It's not a divisive thing. It's the love of God. And on that issue today in America, how many people are willing to stand just on that? Because there's cultural pressure to bend. There's cultural pressure to go with the flow on a number of sexual issues. That's the one thing you could say in America. Is the church being the church? Are people actually doing that? I mean, this man went to his death for the truth.
Well, you know, we talk about the atrocities of killing the Jews, the Holocaust. And yet we've without blinking, terminated the most helpless of all creations, and that's the child in the womb. And we've
that's a great
50 million, and we haven't stood. And I would have been taken out because I'm the product of a non-planned for pregnancy and to a 40-year-old woman who didn't have a husband, and I shouldn't have had a chance. And a doctor refused to abort me, out of conviction. He said no. Well, where are the convictions today that will defend someone that's helpless like I was? And what about the people we have touched? Because God has a purpose for the unplanned and unexpected. One of the reasons that I think the truth of God doesn't get out is because major media are going to twist or ignore the truth or totally misrepresent it.
Yeah.
And they're going to actually assault it. So the stronger we stand, the more the world's forces are going to come against us. But I'm going to tell you something. If the silent majority, and I wrote a whole commentary on this, by the way, if you've never gone to jamesrobinson.net or go on lifetoday.org, and over here it'll say James Robinson's commentaries or my articles, we'll read them. And just just scanned back through them. But I wrote one on when the silent majority suddenly speaks loudly.
Yes.
See, we're not talking about organizing some new wing of a political party or a new political party.
I'm with you.
We're talking about releasing the power of God through the individual that's been the light hidden under the bushel. We're talking about getting that light up on the lampstand. I'm just saying, this is kind of what you contributed to. Yes. You're a troublemaker. You contributed this to me by writing Bonhoeffer. So you have stirred up in me this fire that God was already stirring, and you're sitting over across the room watching this, and I'm knee-deep in books. Let me tell you something. You bet he said, I like to read. You want to know why I like to read? Because I love you. And I want to know truth. And I want to know everything about how the Word of the living God applies to the living on this planet, who in many instances are living like in a mortuary. Look at them in churches. They look like the local chain gang. They look like just people. It just breaks my heart because we're not supposed to live that way. And so I'm reading and digging, and I'm trying to say, Lord, show in light of history and what's happened, show me where the church got over here under the bushel of conformity and comfort and compatibility and compromise. And we sat over here discussing the liberal theologians over in Germany and writing off someone who might have been released from that and even appalled at the liberalism in our school.
Oh, he was. I mean, I'll tell you, just to point out, I found some stuff. I couldn't believe it. In 1939, when he comes back to America to escape Nazi Germany, he comes here and he goes to hear the liberal preaching at Riverside Church. Couldn't get more liberal. But he believes that God could speak through anything. And guess what? The Lord could speak through anything. So he goes over there and he's disgusted by the religiosity of the sermon. And I put it in the book. The preacher preaches from James, not the book of James, from the philosopher William James. That's how liberal, forget scripture. So he's disgusted. The same day, this is like out of a movie, the same day he walks 6 blocks south on Broadway to another church where there was the arch-fundamentalist Presbyterian Macomb was preaching. And Bonhoeffer says, let me see what that's like. And here he hears the gospel preached. And if ever he throws his hat in, if he has to vote, who do I vote for, them or them? It's like something out of a movie. You say, that's too simplistic. That wouldn't happen in real life. It happened 6 hours apart, 6 blocks apart. He hears ultra-liberal preaching, and then he goes south and hears this man reviled as a fundamentalist, you know, the enemy of Fosdick and all these people. And Bonhoeffer says, this was beautiful. Finally, on Sunday, I heard the gospel preached, and I was among the people of God. And when I read that, I thought, am I making this up? This is just like too clear. But this man, he knew when he saw the people of God, when he heard the gospel preached, he said, this is it. This is what we need. And right after that, he goes back to Germany to face death. But he had the peace of God.
He was not,
looking for rules and what he was looking to be led by the living God. And he was.
Well, I want to tell you, that's where God's carrying me in my journey right now. This is kind of an old man. You know, I'm an old guy. This guy died in his early 30s. I'm an old guy. I'm going to tell you something. This is the hour for the church. This is arise and shine, for the glory of God must be released through us. The imprint and impact of God through all of us as believers. This is the hour. Arise and shine. That's God's call to you.
That's right.
You are so important to His purpose. You are that holy habitation coming together. And by the way, I'm going to do everything I can to communicate truth, even to those who may be criticizing me, who may say, I don't like what you're saying, you're a compromise. I'm going to tell you, I love them. I'm going to love my enemies. Maybe you'll hone me. You may be an abrasive, grinding device in my life, but I'm going to love you, even if you're unkind. And I want to do my best to see truth penetrate all barriers and the grace and love of God prevail so that we become that city set on a hill, so that we really do begin to live in the shadow and shelter of the Almighty and be an answer to the prayer of Jesus. We be one. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth right now through us, your people, the church, on this earth. I believe it can be done. You agree it can be done? You appreciate Eric. You appreciate what he shared with us about Bonhoeffer. The book is in the bookstores. It's great. You can go online and get it. I really encourage you to do it. Betty, you sure have talked a whole lot. Just right now. Do you like what you see?
I love it. And, you know, I haven't, like I've said before, I haven't read the book yet, but I'm anxious to get into it. But I come away just from what I've heard the two of you share about this man, that I come away saying, God, you've told me I'm just as significant as the life of this man.
Amen.
And you are too.
Amen.
You are significant to what God wants to do. Will you allow Him to take you on His journey? You'll be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be blessed.
Yeah, that's what this little gift book, The Butterfly Effect, says. A scientific fact, butterfly can start a hurricane. A scientific fact. So that, you know what that means? We can release a wave of God's love all over the world. And that's literally what we're asking you to do. Would you help us rescue lives? Would you help us rescue, just like the girl you're about to see? Would you help us rescue precious children from the horrors of the sex traffic and the sex trade? We can do it with God's love together. Watch this.
Actually, the old lady tricked her to be in the room and then let the man rape her and then sold her, you know, to other men one after another and never gave her money. At that time, she felt like so disgraced on herself that she was sold. And then when she was beaten all the time, she would think that it's better for her to be killed.
They beat them
and then locked in the room.
Locked in the room.
Yeah.
And they also put a spike in her leg.
A spike? Like a metal railroad spike? They put that into your leg? And here she is. She's caught in this trap. And she doesn't see any way out. People have owned her and forced her to perform many sexual acts. 10 men a day. You can look at her face and tell she doesn't want to do this. She hates it. She hates what she has to do again and again and again. I want to stop it.
Well, Jeannie Rogers, along with the mission teams, can want to stop it, but they can't stop it without your help. And your help, people like you, rescued that beautiful girl. Here she is right now. These pictures were just sent to us. They're training her in a trade so that she can learn how to make a living in the right way because she's experienced life. And we're helping her in the life center that love shared through people like you built. And it's an absolutely beautiful place. Now, our mission team led that pimp, that man that was talking about how he could use a knife and control him and how he knew what he was doing, and just talking casually, just like he's talking about dirt. But they led him to Christ. They led him to the Lord. The man's life was changed there on the street by the power of God and the power of love. And Betty, what we're asking our viewers to do is to help us rescue more girls like that. Literally thousands of children that we can get who are going to be sold into the sex trade because they go into the impoverished areas and out into the rural areas and they convince the parents that they're going to take these children and they're going to teach them a job. And they'll even give them money. So we watched, you and I went there and we saw children that had been bought with a radio. The family got a radio or maybe a portable television, just some kind of electronic device, and they got the child. I'm telling you, right now, we can save those children's lives, thousands of them. Do you know what it costs to rescue a child? It costs $128. The Life Center that's established there was by people selling everything they had who lived in California and served the motion picture industry, Hollywood. And they just sold out and said, oh, God wants us to go over here and rescue these children. And they left everything. They're there, and we've built the Life Center there in Thailand, and we're building others in other areas, in Cambodia and other places in Asia. When I say we, I'm talking about us together. But we've broken out the cost to rescue a child. It's $128. Here's what I'd like you to do. If you can help us rescue a child, dial the telephone number. It is truly a lifeline, always a prayer line for you, always. But you dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check, or write a check, make it to Life. That's what you're doing. You're rescuing lives. Or you can go online, lifetoday.org. If there's any way that you could help us rescue 10 children, think about this, $1,280, we can give life and hope to people in desperate situations. Would you help us do that? Would you help us maintain those incredible outreaches and even expand them? You are the source. You are the release of God's love. You are the enablers for those missionaries and those precious people that God has put in place to literally help express God's love. Would you enable them to do it? Please make the call God put on your heart and make the gift. Would you do that right now? Thank you so much. We have some gifts to bless you and to say thank you. Thank you for helping rescue these precious lives.
Human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your support of Mission Rescue Life, you can help rescue more than 5,000 children from the horrors of the sex trade in parts of Thailand, India, Cambodia, and other targeted nations. Together, we can reach vulnerable families and children by providing much-needed food and relief. We can rescue those already ensnared by offering them a way out, and we can restore their hearts, minds, and bodies to enable them to enjoy life as God intended. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this lifestyle. As our way of saying thank you, please request The Butterfly Effect, How Your Life Matters. The story of this book reveals how you were specially created by God to make a difference and have the power to change the world. As a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children. With your gift, be sure to request Heart of the Father, our beautiful new bronze sculpture that demonstrates God's fatherly love for us as His children. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
We're going to be sending you The Butterfly Effect because I'm telling you, you are going to be putting healing streams in motion, literally, by your gift, and we thank you. I want to remind you again, the book Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's story, incredible. What a blessing this has been to me, and what a blessing it'll be to the church today. I want to say thanks and ask all of you to join Betty and me in saying thanks to Eric Metaxas for writing the book. Thank you for your journey. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your love. You're a treasure, my friend. You're a treasure. You are too. Very special. Thanks for helping us share God's love.
How can you be one nation under God if you can't even be one church under God?
Next week, Dr. Tony Evans reveals a new kingdom perspective that overcomes all racial problems. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.